Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Good afternoon and welcome to Aware. Hi, this is Lisa Garr. Did you know that right now, as we speak, there is groundbreaking scientific research being conducted about the effectiveness of distance healing? There are many, many research scientists involved. Among them are Dr. Daniel Amen. He's a psychiatrist, medical doctor of the Amen Clinics. He's a best-selling author and assistant clinical professor of psychiatry and human behavior for the School of Medicine at the University of California at Irvine, which is where his clinic is located. Also, Dr. James Fallon is one of the research scientists involved in this project. He is the professor of anatomy and neurobiology and the director of neuroscience for the School of Medicine at the University of California, Irvine, as well. Both are joining me today to talk about a film that has just been made called The Foundation Project, and it's screening tonight at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood. It's about a dynamic feedback loop that exists between the brain and distant healing that is quantifiable via research that these two gentlemen are performing along with other people. Dr. Amen, are you with me? Dr. Amen, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hi. Great. We're all good to have you with me. And Dr. Fallon, are you with me?
Lisa, I am here. How are you doing?
I am happy. I'm really good.
Hey, Jim. Daniel, how are you?
Fabulous.
First name basis. So how long have you guys been working on this?
Oh, goodness. We've been working together for 5 years on various projects, I think. Dr. Fallon came to me early last year, to do this project, which was great fun.
Now, it's called the Foundation Project. What was the purpose of this particular project, and what is it? What is this film about?
The purpose of the film is to provide a kind of interim summary of our pilot research, the scientific research on Qigong as a therapeutic modality. And first of all, two of the practitioners approached me, and they knew I was a skeptic, and they wanted a group of other skeptical scientists to get involved and to put Qigong to the test and to provide some, you know, pilot data to see whether it would be worth going ahead for a full-blown study. So the film itself was to show that progress and to introduce some of the techniques that we used and the controls and just the scientific methodology involved, but also hopefully to raise awareness and also to raise funds for the larger project.
And the larger project is what?
Well, the larger project would be to increase the number of subjects because, you know, it's a pilot study. It's usually 5, 10, 15, 20 subjects, but really to get, when you're using imaging techniques, and Dr. Amen can speak directly to this too, you really need to do a number of control scans. You have to have a standardized sort of population controls versus a group of patients with an identifiable disorder, let's say. And so for this study, we used people with ADHD.
Okay.
And that's the group we studied. So we have to expand this to really get the statistics and to cover all the controls to say, hey, look, we really got something here, or don't we?
Well, those were good subjects to use because ADD and ADHD are somewhat difficult to control without medication and so forth. So that's a very, very big topic. So now what the purpose of this, by the way, I'm just going to kind of recap this for the listeners, is there's a film that was made called The Foundation Project with various research scientists documenting the effectiveness of distance healing. So they took a Qigong master, Dr. Shui Yin Lo, and he, I guess, administered a Qigong healing on blind...
Dr. Lo, organizer of the project,
okay,
and also did some of the measurements, and for the most part, the actual therapeutics was done by Dr. Tat Serrano.
Oh, okay.
And he wasn't involved in any of the measurements. We had to keep everybody separate.
Oh, okay. All right, that makes sense. Okay, so then he stood behind or sat behind the person in front of him who had this ADD or ADHD, and that particular gentleman was hooked up with different electrodes. And as the Qigong was being effectively administered and meditated upon and directed towards this subject, things started to happen that blew all of your minds. So tell me a little bit about what that experience was like for you, Dr. Fallon.
Well, we really didn't, frankly, I didn't expect to see anything. And with the various techniques we use EEG, electroencephalogram, to look at brainwave patterns localized throughout the cortex. We also used, and Dr. Amin can speak directly to this, SPECT scanning that was done at his clinic, one of his clinics, and also we did the clinical measures and also surface readings of skin temperature using infrared spectroscopy, and we took these and then what was administered was Dr. Hirano, like you mentioned, stood behind the person and either applied qigong. Or didn't, but nobody knew whether he was doing it or not except him. So none of the researchers knew, and the subject didn't know when it was being applied and if it was being applied as a placebo or whether it was the real thing. So that was used, and then we looked at changes that occurred in the patterns of brain metabolism, blood flow, and activity, and there was a very consistent effect using all these three techniques, which was quite remarkable, especially given the size of the study.
Yeah. Now, Dr. Amin has this wonderful clinic at UCI, and it's called the Amin Clinic. And I just think that it's just fascinating what you do. You study the brain. You get these pictures of the brain, and different images appear, and you're an expert at reading these types of images. But what did you see? And this is, by the way, it's called SPECT. the brain imaging is called SPECT. What did you find, Dr. Amin, as the Qigong was being, I'm going to say administered. Is there another word for that?
No, I think that's the
okay.
right word.
All right.
Our clinic's in Newport Beach, and what we found in all of the subjects was significant increased activity on their scans. So looking before and after, when the qi was being administered, there was actual increased activity in the brain. And that sort of it'll blow your mind a little bit because Dr. Tatsurano didn't touch anybody. I mean, there was nothing going between the doctor and the patient except the doctor's energy. So it was surprising to say the least.
And did you notice any of this type of increased activity prior to or after the healing?
Well, we only did two studies on the subjects. We did one before anything happened, and then we did one after. And it's the after study that we found the significant increases.
And how many were you able to conduct? How many studies were you able to do?
What did we do, Jim? A total of seven?
Yes, seven twice. So 14 complete sessions.
Were they consistent every single time?
Yes.
The amazing thing is that they were all consistent.
Wow.
And, there was an increased perfusion of blood flow and brain activity, and along with it, it's pretty much time-locked with the session, was also a increase of higher frequency activity in the EEG. So it kind of stabilized everybody at a higher level in what appeared to be, which is usually correlated with a more aware or attentive state.
Ah, okay. I was wondering what the effects of that would be.
That's really important. Is it's just not my study that showed increased activity in the brain. It was an independent, another modality that looks at brain function by, you know, really a world-famous researcher. And his study went along with my study.
So the SPECT and the infrared and the EEG monitors all showed an increase in activity during the administration of the Qigong healing. So there's increased activity in the brain. The temperature actually, what I saw...
Actually, that's not quite right. The EEG and the SPECT showed increased brain activity. The infrared looks at body temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found, correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, but correct me, what they found was... more even distribution of temperature across the body, what looked like a healthier pattern than the one prior to the Qigong.
So if there were like hot spots or cold spots, they tended to normalize and distribute, and tended to actually decrease a bit.
Okay.
That was the tendency. But, you know, everybody is different. And even if we're all, you know, largely genetically based, if you take that perspective, there's almost an infinite combinations of genes and an infinite combinations of people. So nobody's alike. So I think what really, one of the things that really interested us as scientists was that they all had the same response, even though everybody is really quite different. And Dr. Amon's a clinician, and he sees a lot of people with ADHD, knows a tremendous amount about it. I'm a basic neuroscientist. I look at circuitry. But and he can tell you more about this, but even though there are differences, there are some things that are alike, and the fact that we found a very similar pattern among even different types of people with ADHD was rather surprising.
So, how long did it last? How long did patterns, more and more typical patterns, last in the subject?
I don't think we know that.
Okay. But it happened at least during that time, right?
Right, although you should get Dr. Fallon.
Hello? Dr. Amon?
Hi. Mm-hmm. I said you should get Dr. Fallon to tell you why he's interested in Qigong, because he has personal experience that really drove his scientific interest.
Yeah, I would love to know that.
To answer the first question, that people seem to have a different length of time that they were affected. And we had to take the second reading for a number of technical reasons within a day or two later. And so in some cases, it appeared with the EEG that it would last hours and maybe even days. And for some people, it seemed to only last, maybe a half a day to down to single hours. Now, what Daniel was mentioning, my research really is of, for the past 30 years, what would be considered very straight neuroscientific research, right?
Yes.
Very Western, very straight. And my wife, Diane, who has been the picture of health several years ago, found out, quite to her surprise, even though she was feeling great, that she had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And this changed our attitude about life, because she had never been sick before, you know. Mm. She was just absolutely took care of herself. I don't. You know, it's always the person who doesn't exercise and everything.
Huh.
But she was just really the picture of health. She came down with this, and her attitude, of course, is she was going to beat it. She's a tough woman.
Uh-huh.
And so she went through chemo, but she also, I had happened to admit Tat Serrano the year before, because he had actually approached me before this, and said he'd like to do some scientific experiments on Qigong, because he was interested in the science, even though he was a clinician, I'd say, just a clinician, but a practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wife went up, and she said, look, she would do some Qigong with him. That is, so she drove up to L.A., which I couldn't even believe that she's not into driving. We live in Orange County. But she went up there regularly, and, you don't know exactly what it is that happens. It could be, all the modalities combined. but she really felt tremendous very quickly. And
wow.
Now, because of this, I was really, you know, I felt I owed it to this clinical practice, and to now and to TAPS too. And because it was so darn interesting that, if you know, this thing really worked. And she's, you know, really disease-free and really in great shape. And,
amazing.
And so I that really helped motivate me to get into something I normally would not have gotten into.
Wow. Wow, that is quite a story. So
I don't know how, you know, it's like I don't know if and how it works. As a scientist, that's what we, you know, as a basic scientist, you just want to know the mechanism. How does that machine work?
Right.
And as a clinician, you want to know, you know, not only how it works, but who it works on and on individual people. And as a patient, you want to know that it works, and you kind of don't care.
Right.
So, we had everybody involved had a little different piece of these attitudes about it. So so we came together in an unlikely group and did the study.
You know, it does amaze me. It brings me to the question of, you know, why do we need to scientifically quantify in the West that which has been existing for thousands of years in the East and we know works? But we need to.
Yeah, we really need to. And it was, you know, it's Qigong. I mean, it's about 3,000 kinds of Qigong, and it's been around over 3,000 years. And there are, you know, there's different major types, but most of the practitioners of, you know, there's the traditional type, but many of the practitioners that know that, it, you know, they believe in this, and they know that to be accepted in the West, it really has to be brought through the rigors of scientific study.
Plus, it does support funding into the future of more studies to be done with more
subjects.
Yeah,
until people say, look at, this is worthy of publication in a major mainstream journal, and here it is. And that's, you know, it's tough to do because there's a lot of bias against these sorts of things, as you might imagine.
Oh, no, this is fabulous. I mean, this is what I talk about all day. Has it been published in a journal, in a medical journal?
No, what we need to do is to, hopefully with this film, it'll put a fire under a couple of people who say, look, we'd like to, you know, help you get some more resources to finish out, to get more, you know, a larger number of subjects, so it reaches the criterion, so it is publishable in a mainstream journal.
Mm.
I mean, find the same effect, right?
If anybody is a writer for a medical journal or knows anybody who is or any contacts around that, I highly encourage you, if you can, to go to the Egyptian Theater tonight in Hollywood. It's at about 7:45 is the screening. How else could people find out about this, the film? Do you know?
How else did or could people?
Could people find out about it if they can't make it tonight?
I see. I would say they can contact both Dr. Hirano, Dr. Tatsuo, Tatsuo, Hirano, Dr. Yin Lo, and they both have clinics. So people who are interested in, you know, talking about the science of it, but also, you know, discussing how this is done and actually getting treatments, can discuss it with them. I think people who want to know more about Qigong itself, you can go to places like Wikipedia,
mm-hmm.
look under Qigong, Qigong,
mm-hmm.
and that has a lot of links, both to some studies. Also, if you can try to go to PubMed, people can go to PubMed and type in Qigong and hope for the best. There's not too many articles, you know, in mainstream journals. That's the shame of it all.
But
so
that's what you guys are up to. Which
that's
is
what we're up to.
Fabulous. So give me a big picture here. What could this do? I mean, what basically could, if we were to quantify the fact that Qigong has significant measures of and scientific measures of healing qualities, what would that do? What would that mean to us?
If we knew what it was. First of all, I want to right up front saying I have absolutely no idea how, you know, if it works, how it works. I'm completely clueless. There are people who use quantum mechanics theories to show this. And this is, you know, some of the tunneling type hypotheses by, you know, really accepted quantum mechanics theory and equations has been able to explain a number of what we consider straight ahead sorts of phenomena now. So it's not, you know, a lot of the voodoo has been taken, not a lot, but, you know, most of the voodoo has been taken out of it. People aren't so scared to apply these sort of quantum mechanical explanations and tests. The Dr. Yin Lo thinks that there are, you know, he uses the term chions, be like gravitons or muons or photons. Chions,
right.
As, you know, more or less carriers or mediators of, he doesn't consider it really psychic energy or anything like that. It's a, he thinks it's just, you know, it's part of the electromagnetic spectrum. And that a chi master is able to read people. And this is, we're talking about therapeutic qigong, that they're able to read what's wrong in somebody, and either through hands-on or distance healing, you know, could be a couple of feet away or, you know, a mile away, that they're able to then use something that really has a lot of, a type of focus that has a lot of names in all cultures, Eastern and Western cultures. And so you'll see, so people who may do this, who may do a sort of qigong, a therapeutic qigong on themselves or on somebody else, they really may be tapping into something that's very familiar throughout Eastern and Western cultures for thousands of years.
Now, Dr. Amon, what does this mean to your clinic? I mean, what would this mean to your clinic when you find somebody who has an abnormal brain scan or maybe shows elements of tendency for depression in the brain, ADD, ADHD? What would this mean?
Well, the exciting news, I mean, the really exciting thing for me and why, you know, I love imaging is it opens your mind to new ways to heal the brain. And this is another potential way that we can help optimize brain function. So I've been a psychiatrist for 25 years, and I use psychiatric meds, but sometimes they make people worse. And when you look at the scan before and after psychiatric meds, you go, yuck, I don't like this. Now, when they really work, they make the brain better. But it just, it speaks to me that I should be open-minded and look for all the ways, medicine, supplements, acupuncture, qigong, meditation, psychotherapy, all the ways to optimize brain function. And so that's why I was excited to be part of this study, because you get to see, I mean, how do you know unless you look whether or not something's helpful? And this is one of the ways to look. So,
tell me a little bit about what the SSRIs do to the brain when you look at the image of it.
Well, SSRIs actually have a very direct effect on brain function. They boost serotonin availability, and they relax your brain. So if you start with overactivity, especially in the front part of the brain, if you have overactivity in that part of the brain, you worry. You hold on to things. If things don't go your way, you get upset. You tend to be sad, and you can't let go. Give somebody Prozac or Paxil or Zoloft or Lexapro, and it calms those parts of the brain down, and so they don't worry as much. The problem is if you don't look at what you do and you put somebody on too much or you put them on it for too long, is you calm that part of the brain down too much, and now they went from being worried to they don't care. So you can actually decrease someone's motivation. You can increase their impulse control problems if you don't put them on the right dose. So they work. For the right people, they're great medicines. For the wrong person, it's a nightmare. And so that's why I advocate. Depression is not one thing. It's at least seven or eight different things. And people need to be treated as individuals, not as groups.
Now, let me ask you a little bit about those. And we're getting a little off topic here. But if these SSRIs prohibit the serotonin from dumping basically off in the brain and it pools there, does it retrain the brain to not produce as much?
You know, that's really an interesting question. I don't know, Jim, if you have an idea from, you know, a neuroscience standpoint.
Sure. If you there are down regulation, if let's say you have a low availability of serotonin, you use an SSRI to increase the availability, because you're basically, you're with the drug, you're blocking the brain cell's ability to take it back up into them. So it leaves it out where it can have a lot of activity. Now, when there's a lot of these transmitters, like serotonin or other neurotransmitters that are that really affect cognition and emotion and attention, what happens is that the cells that are receiving these messages, that is the serotonin, they say, look, to put it in words, we're getting plenty of message. In fact, we're getting so much message, we don't have to make as many receptors to listen to it anymore because, wow, you know, the serotonin's got to attach to a serotonin receptor. Well, once those next cells that are listening to the serotonin and they decide to now reduce the amount, then there's, you know, then nobody's listening. So there is this what's called receptor downregulation. So the brain is always, and all, you know, cells of the body, so they're always kind of make these adjustments that can really frustrate the treatment.
Wow,
because
fascinating.
Because, you know, the body, the brain especially, will make these adjustments over the period of days and weeks. And so you're always chasing a rainbow in a sense, you know?
Fascinating. And does it pay attention to hormone play in this whole?
Sure does. Okay. And you know, if we look at serotonin for ADHD, et cetera, and we chose ADHD, first of all, Dr. Amen is an expert in this, and second of all, it's a tough thing to attack with any sort of a treatment, and especially, you know, Qigong, we're trying something new, that you're really talking about a problem with the ability to focus on something. There's this area that Dr. Amen, he's got a great name for it, this ring of fire. It's part of the limbic system that goes right, you know, if you had a mohawk hairdo, right down the center of the brain, on the medial surface of each hemisphere, is this area that has different parts that focuses or puts attention on different parts of you. One part attends to your inner emotions and to your viscera, your guts. One part attends to just what's happening, for example, when you're reading a book or making a calculation. Another separate part attends to pain, another one to visual memory. And you can't turn these all on. So this is like a flashlight that keeps switching back and forth to the appropriate thing. Some people that have, for example, post-traumatic stress disorder, have always this sort of limbic system flashlight of attention pointed to themselves inside, to their guts, really. And they're always depressed. And so it's a real challenge because serotonin goes everywhere there. So how do you selectively manipulate it? Well, if we look at with the Qigong, as well as with drugs, how do you just pick one of these? How do you just select one?
Right.
So like as Dr. Amen said, they don't care about anything. You want them to care about the appropriate things.
Right.
Well, the thing with Qigong is there's no toxicity that we know of.
Ah, see, there's no,
you know,
side effects.
Do no harm first.
Right.
And that's the first thing. The question is efficacy. And with the efficacy, we can correlate a change of a person's mood or a person's attention, because we did attention tests, correlate that with the golden standard, which is the images of the brain. And Dr. Amen can see those parts of that limbic system, attentional system, where the flashlight is.
That's fascinating.
So if these line up, if you say, well, here's the area that was attending in the wrong way to something, because, you know, has it been changed by the Qigong or any treatment? And is it, you know, is there a match? So we got this golden standard with the imaging and the clinical report and the person's report. So that's how you can put these together.
And that's how you can come up with.
It's very hard to do this with a drug.
Well, yeah, but also you have to get your body to the Qigong every day, and the drug is convenient, but there's a convenient factor. But if you weigh the odds, then that's definitely worth it. Well, we actually have to take a break, but I wanted to say thank you so much to both of you for joining me, Dr. Daniel Amen and Dr. James Fallon. You can find out about Dr. Amen's clinic at amenclinic.com, which is amenclinic.com. And thank you so much. The movie premieres tonight at the Egyptian Theater at 7:45 in Hollywood, and it's called The Foundation Project. Thank you both very, very much for joining me this afternoon.